You are listening to the podcast That's Life in Sweden, or as we say in Swedish, Sånt är livet i Sverige, with me, your host, Lisa Orsimäki. Jane Elliott, you are renowned worldwide for introducing the controversial and startling blue eyes, brown eyes exercise. Did you imagine the positive impact your work has had on the world?
I had no idea that was going to happen, but I knew that judging people by the color of their eyes, millions of people to die during the Adolf Hitler regime. One of the ways he decided who went into the gas chamber was eye color. He called himself the Aryan race. There's no Aryan race. There's no black race, no white race, no red race, no yellow race. That idea of race came out of France in 1580, but Hitler used it in order to justify killing 10 million people. So I didn't come up with this exercise. I learned it from Adolf Hitler. I was born in 1933, the year that Adolf Hitler and Franklin Roosevelt came to power in their respective countries. So for the first 12 years of my life, I heard my father ranting in anger about what Hitler was doing all over Europe. And so when it started again in this country, but based on skin color, I decided after the killing of Martin Luther King Jr. that my students had the right to learn what I learned. So this wasn't my idea. I learned it from Adolf Hitler. And you need to know, and this has nothing to do with your question, but you need to know that Donald Trump learned how to be a leader by reading the book, The New World Order, which is the writing of Adolf Hitler. He has a copy of it in a locked drawer in his bedside table. Yeah, people need to realize that what is happening in this country, what happened for 4 years, this man is Hitlerian, if ever there lived one. And if you were alive from 1933 until now, you recognize Hitlerian statements when you hear them.
Do you think that things have changed how we see each other's color from, say, 30 years ago, 50 years ago?
Not only do I think it hasn't changed, I don't think it has changed. I think it's gotten worse as a result of having a Hitlerian person in the leadership in the United States of America, because the United States of America leads the countries of the Western world. We know that. We realize that whatever happens in the White House, in Washington, D.C., will happen in other countries within 30 minutes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and we need, but if we haven't taught the true history of what happened from 1933 till 1945, if we haven't taught that, our students, the coming citizens, will not recognize it when it's happening and will go along to get along because it seems so simple to pick out a group of people on the basis of either their religion or their skin color and abuse them because we have what is called the right skin color. And of course, to judge people by the color of their skin is pretty ridiculous because we are all shades of brown. There's no white, there's no black, there's no red, there's no yellow. We are all shades of brown. Once we get that into people's heads, we will do away with racism.
Now, you also state that racism is a relatively a new idea. So can you just explain, I mean, how far back do we go to understand when it actually came to being?
Race as a distinct group of people came out of France in 1580. That's like 500 years ago. However, because racism, treating people positively or negatively based on the color of their skin, is an extremely profitable enterprise. As long as you can keep certain people, because you have indoctrinated your students for years to the idea of the rightness of whiteness, you can keep those who we regard other than white in positions where they will work for little or nothing, where they will, and our prison system is a reorganization of racism, no doubt about it.
So what is the problem with the word biracial?
There's no such thing. There's interracial. It's just as bad. Interracial and multiracial. There's only one race of people on the face of the earth, and that's the human race. We all came from a country in Africa. You need to get the National Geographic magazine for, I believe, 2018. I think it was.
Yes. Yes.
Have you seen it? I think it was 2018, and on the front of, on the cover, front cover, there are two girls. One looks black, and one looks white. They're twin girls. Their father is called black, and their mother is called white. Those two girls are twins. You have to realize that they are both members of the same race, and they are members of the same color group because they are both shades of brown. Neither of them is black or white. They are both shades of brown. Race has been used to keep people in their place and to make money for those who have money for the last, in this country, for 400 years.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by we must not tolerate the intolerable?
Elie Wiesel, who was imprisoned during the Holocaust, has written lots of books. He's absolutely fantastic. And he says we must not tolerate the intolerable. If what is happening to a group of people is intolerable for them, then the rest of us must not tolerate it. We must put a stop to it, because what's tolerable for you, what's intolerable for another person should be intolerable for me. I should be willing to stand up and say, no, you can't do that to that person. I wouldn't want you to do it to me, and I'm not going to let you do it to him or her or them. I'm not going to tolerate it. I will not tolerate behavior that is intolerable, particularly if it's based on skin color or gender or age or religion. Well, I'll accept that you can tolerate or not tolerate somebody's religion, because unfortunately, this whole thing started with religion. People need to realize that if we hadn't had the Spanish Inquisition, and if Torquemada and company hadn't decided that he couldn't tell what religion a person was by the way they looked, so then he came up with the idea of light-skinned people must be white, which is the color of goodness and purity, and darker-skinned people must be black, called black, because that's the color of savagery and evil. And that's where this whole thing came from. And he was trying to convert everybody that he came to Catholicism. He didn't kill Christians, but then he found out, after he had killed almost 2,000 people, that a bunch of the people he had killed were Christians, with the idea of black and white. We are still acting as though we were in the 14 and 1500s. We have to put a stop to this.
Hmm. Can you explain the problem with the golden rule?
Oh, I don't believe in the golden rule. The golden rule says, do unto others as you have others do unto you. In other words, treat others the way you want to be treated. I don't dare treat young males the way I want to be treated. I don't dare treat old males the way I want to be treated. But I have tried to do that. It's a really mean trick. Every once in a while, when I see a group of men coming toward the entrance to a building in which I'm going to be speaking, and I'm standing outside talking to somebody, and these men come up, and you know, they've got their suits on and they're important, and I reach over and open the door for them. Every one of them reacts negatively to that. They look at each other like, look at what she just did. Doesn't she think we can open the door for ourselves? And I've had some of them say to me, I think I can open. And I look up and I smile and I say, yeah. I know, I do too. See, I don't have the right to treat people the way I want to be treated. I have to treat people the way they want to be treated. And in order for me to find out how they want to be treated, I have to look, I have to learn, I have to listen, I have to read, I have to learn about those people, so that my behaviors, I can't afford to treat others the way I want to be treated, particularly now that I'm old. I know no young person wants to be treated the way I want to be treated. Well, I don't say that there's no difference. We are all different. Every one of us is different from every other one of us. I don't have a problem with differences, as long as those are natural differences and you recognize that those are natural differences, and you do not base your opinion of others on the fact that they have a difference. You learn about the difference, you appreciate the difference. We're insane, where we go a little insane where skin color is concerned, because we have been taught that you have the right to judge people by the amount of a chemical in their skin. And most people don't even know what causes skin color. We say that dark people, we're quite certain that darker skinned people aren't as smart as lighter skinned people. Well, then in the summer, do whites get dumber? Here are all these women lying out on the sand in the summer, getting as tan as they can possibly be. Are they lying there getting dumber? See, that's when you see that happen and you recognize what's happening and you say to yourself, how in the world can people believe the nonsense of skin color making a difference in your intelligence level? But you see, if you are treated as unable to learn, if you are forced to live down to somebody else's expectations of you because of that person's self-imposed ignorance, then that skin color, the skin color isn't the problem, but the ignorance of the person who is judging you by that skin color is the problem. Ignorance is the problem. Ignorance is what caused racism in the first place. Ignorance is what perpetuates it to this day. And in this country right now, we have a whole mess of, well, many, many of our so-called white males are scared to death. They know the demographics of this country. They know that within 30 years, what we call white people will be a numerical minority in the United States of America, just as we are all over the world. Only 15 to 18% of the population of the earth is classified as white. And it's a misnomer. We aren't white. But we have used that word for 440 years, so we're going to keep on using it, and we're going to perpetuate this ignorance. We could do away with racism if we would start to educate people instead of miseducating them.
What can societies do to eliminate racism? Is it at all possible?
Oh, absolutely. We have to educate the educators. I have put people from the age of 7 to 77 through that blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise. And every single one of them who listens and who attempts to learn has changed the way they see their world and themselves in that world. If they have, for the first time in their lives, meet the honesty of, look, people, you're all members of the same race. We are all 30th to 50th cousins. So turn to the person beside you, stick out your hand, or now you have to bump elbows because of COVID-19, and say, hello, cousin. Look them in the eye and say, hello, cousin, to the person on your left, then to the person on your right, then to the person behind you and the person in front of you. Because, people, we are all members of the same race. There is only one race of people on the face of the earth, and that's the human race. And we evolved in sub-Saharan Africa many thousands of years ago. It's time to get over this nonsense. And once they realize that when I put adult people in corporations through this exercise, invariably we have 5 or 6 people out of a group of 35 crying because I never knew, I never thought, it never occurred to me. And practically every time I do it, when it's over and we're doing the debriefing, the pale-faced woman says to the darker-skinned woman beside her, well, this is too harsh. She shouldn't have done that to me. And the darker skinned woman says, it happens to me and my children and my husband all day, every day. What about us? And that pale faced woman will say out loud, boldly, that's different. You're used to it, you can take it.
Wow. That's awful.
Well, of course it's awful. And what's awful is not that she says it to that black woman. But that black woman, what we call black woman, that melanaceous or melanized woman, is able to look her in the eye and listen to that remark and not hate her and not want to get even, just want to get equity. See, I don't want to be equal to everybody on earth. I'm not equal to everybody on earth. Everybody on earth, practically speaking, anybody over the age of 12 is taller than I am. They're all younger than I am. They're all thinner than I am. They're more attractive than I am. I can demand equitable treatment under the law. And that's what we've got to provide. And we've got to provide it seriously. We've got to say to every person, whether or not you consider me your equal, you will treat me equitably, and I will treat you equitably. And that's what our laws should be about. Not equality. You can't achieve equality. I'd have to really, really go take more than 1,000 steps backwards in order to be equal to Donald Trump. I don't want to be equal to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
If I'm equal to Donald Trump, then I've got a real problem. I don't want equality. I want equitable treatment under the law, and I want it for every single human being that crosses my path. But you see, I went through those years, those Nazi years, and watched people do things and say things and be exposed to things that never should have happened to anyone. And now we're on the brink of going through those again. If you've been through it, you recognize the symptoms, and you refuse to go through it again. And that's what I'm doing. I refuse to allow people to treat people positively or negatively on the basis of our ignorance about skin color, what it causes, and what it means.
Hmm.
All it means is we're all members of the same race. And instead of talking about races, we're going to have to start talking about shades of brown, because we are all shades of brown, because we all came from the same place.
You have a great interest, of course, in education. And I'm curious, you have actually mentioned that there is a difference between a teacher and an educator. Can you explain the difference?
Yeah, teachers teach facts and figures to get kids ready for the end of year testing. It comes from the root duck, deuce, which means lead, the prefix e, which means out, the suffix ate, which means the act of, and the suffix or. He's one who does. An educator is one who is engaged in the act of leading people out of ignorance. That's not what a teacher does. Particularly in this country today, we have a canned education. These are the things that these kids must learn. Has nothing to do with making this world a better place. It has to do with making that student a better learner. And so we teach the things that we're taught at kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Everything is the same thing taught at a higher level every year.
Hmm.
But we're teaching the wrong thing at kindergarten. We're teaching kids in kindergarten that skin color is an indicator of your intelligence or your worth as a human being. And teachers don't have to say that out loud, but kids can read it in the way the teacher treats each of those children. And we can teach sexism, and we do teach sexism in this country on a daily basis, because teachers know how you're supposed to teach boys and how you're supposed to teach girls. Educators know that we've got to train, we've got to lead people out of the ignorance of thinking that that's what should give you power or take power away from you. We've got to get over that. We won't do it as long as all our administrators are male and most of our elementary teachers are female. You haven't asked me about this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. About 2 weeks ago, I was doing a podcast with six melanotic women. And I said, I think the word female is a result of people adding the chemical symbol for iron, F-E, to the word male, because we are stronger than males. We outnumber them and we outlive them. And this woman said, well, that's a nice thought, but I think that the word woman is because if you come from Africa, you're African. If you come from Iowa, you're Iowan. If you have a womb, you're a woman. It never occurred to me. My God, that just makes such good sense. If you have a womb, you're a woman.
Hmm.
Men don't have it, can't have it, won't have it.
That's right.
And here, all this, I've thought, well, it ends in M-A-N, so it has to be bring woe to a man. No. Boom, it ends in a final silent E, just like dumb does. It's time for us to stop being dumb about being a woman and say, yes, absolutely, I am a woman because I have a womb. When you can get one, then we can talk about you telling me how I can live my life and what I can do with my body.
Hmm. And, of course, there are strange things happening in the U.S., where they actually want to have laws against abortion.
That is the biggest mistake they will ever make. But it's too bad abortion wasn't legal 74 years ago, where T. Rump was born.
Oh,
take that off this thing. But you need to realize that until a man can carry a living creature inside his body as it grows for 9 months and then expel it, something that is the shape of an orange, in some cases a grapefruit, and expel it from his body through a hole no bigger around than a green pea, they have no business telling me what I can do with my body. Man, and I mean man, I don't mean woman, I mean man, who has a baby and goes through 9 months of carrying it and then several hours of labor, until he, when the first person who does that, you will see a real awakening where labor is concerned and where abortion is concerned. What I do with my body is my own business. And if you say God will get you for this, well, this is between me and my God, not between me and the president and the local teachers and the preachers and their God. This is between me and what I consider God. Now, I haven't had an abortion. People think I should have been aborted, but I wasn't. I was one of seven children, and we, all of us had children. I wanted children. If I had not wanted a child and I was pregnant, I would have demanded an abortion, and I would have had the right to have an abortion at that time. But we are now in the situation of forcing women to give up their rights. We can solve the abortion problem very quickly. All we have to do is pass legislation that says if a man contributes to an unwanted pregnancy, he must then volunteer for vasectomy so that he won't contribute to any more unwanted pregnancies. Now, a vasectomy takes only 15 minutes in the doctor's office. It's quick, it's relatively painless, and cheap. My husband's vasectomy didn't hurt me at all, and it didn't hurt him, but it made his life a whole lot better. He got tired of me being pregnant, and I got tired of being pregnant, and that was a really good solution to the problem. If somebody comes up with that suggestion, then they're going to outlaw vasectomy. When you start outlawing rights for one group, you're going to have to start outlawing rights for other groups, and that's exactly what we're doing. No woman can get pregnant without help from another person. That other person in this country is usually a male. That male should be held as responsible for that pregnancy as that woman should. But the woman is the only one that's held responsible, and the woman is the only one that carries the problem. And the male goes off and happily impregnates several other people, however he can, whenever he can, whoever he can. Because in this country today, white males are so concerned about becoming the minority group, that they are determined that they are going to spread their seed wherever they can so that we can increase the number of so-called white babies born in this country. It isn't going to work. It's too many women now are aware of what's going on and are going to say, you want a baby? Go find somebody else who wants to do it with you, because I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm totally in favor of sex. I enjoy it immensely. Yeah. I am not in favor of one gender
controlling,
using the for their comfort and without having to pay any price for that comfort. I'm totally opposed to that.
So where do we begin to... So this comes back to educating.
Preschool. Prenatally. Before the child is born, we have to educate people. We have to educate the medical profession to understand that women are equal. In fact, you know, we live longer and we live stronger than men do. Women have a right to be treated fairly in the delivery room. I know many women, melanaceous and melanotic women, go to the delivery room because the record in the delivery room is so bad, where melanaceous and melanotic children are, they're concerned the record of their survival in the delivery room is not good. And they ask me to speak to a group of people who deliver babies, and I asked them to them. I said, I'm not a medical person. Why are you asking me to speak to you? And they said, because time black women, they were called black women, don't get the same treatment in the delivery room that white women do, and we are going to deliver babies so everybody gets treated the same and gets treated fairly. You shouldn't have to do that in the land of the free and the home of the brave. You should automatically assume that everybody will be treated equitably in the delivery room But yes. If you aren't treated equitably there, what's going to happen outside the delivery room after those kids are born? Mm. And what kind of treatment are they going to get from the medical profession? And how are they going to be treated in school? And how long are they going to stay in school? And what kind of history are they going to hear in school? Mm. We have to start prenatally educating mothers-to-be, and medical people to the fact that that is a human being that you are delivering right there. Mm-hmm. And that is whether or not you believe in God. That's one of God's children. And by God, you'd better treat it fairly. Period.
Okay, go ahead.
What kind of society are we?
Yeah.
That we turn our backs on the ugly things that are happening to those who we call black or red or yellow, and put those that we call white on a pedestal. What in the devil is wrong with us? How long will it take us to leave the 1400s and 1500s behind us and come in 2023?
Mm-hmm.
If you said to a group of males, since you believe in what was taught during the days of the Spanish Inquisition of 1400s and 1500s, we're going to expect you to dress the way they did in those days, to travel the way they did in those days, and communicate as they did in those days. Therefore, all you men will come to work wearing knee breeches and powdered wigs. And all you women will walk down the street wearing lots and lots of layers of clothing and wearing clothing that corsets that cause your waist to be no bigger than 18 inches around. And you will not have television or telephone, and you will not have taxi.
Mm.
Now, if you really want to do that, we can see to it that you live that way. You'll like it for about 10 seconds.
Mm. Mm. So what is...
No, we don't... Go on.
Yeah. So what is the problem then with a curriculum teaching the truth?
We have a horrible time with CRT, because CRT is, quite frankly, a dumb situation. Critical race theory. Number one, it's critical. So we're gonna have a fuss about it. Race. There's only one race. Theory. Theory is just an idea. It isn't a fact. It's just an idea. Instead of calling it critical race theory, I've decided that CRT stands for Curriculum Recognizing Truth. And if we'd call it curriculum recognizing truth, people wouldn't have a problem with it. But when you call it critical race theory, you put it onto a plane that nobody wants to have to deal with. What in the devil are you talking about? If you're talking about curriculum respecting truth, then you will tell the truth in your curriculum. You will not tell ever again that Columbus discovered America, because Thor Heyerdahl said you can't discover a place where people are already living. They discovered it before you got there. So we'll stop telling that kind of lie, and we'll stop calling the natives of the people who were here when we white folks got to the United States of America, we'll stop calling them Indians. Columbus had a lousy navigator. He was lost. He thought he had reached India. So obviously the people who are here must be Indians. They never were Indians, and they never were Native Americans, because there was no America when the people from Africa got here. Mm. And now I will be accused of Indigenous erasure. I'm not erasing the fact that there were people here before Columbus got here.
Mm.
I am saying that they did not come from China. They did not come from, they came from nowhere but Africa.
Mm.
And it's time for us to stop denying our African beginnings.
Mm.
If people would just read the book Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization and realize just one thing that you'll learn out of there, 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, 4,000 years, people in the Nile Valley in Egypt were doing cataract surgery with metal instruments. That was 6,000 years ago. But for the life of the country, of the United States, we have ignored or disregarded or downplayed the brilliance of people who are of a darker skin color. They knew more than we will ever learn, because they had to survive, and they had to be brilliant to do it. And those people from Africa traveled from the equator, from the area of the equator, to populate every landmass on the face of the earth in two waves. They populated every landmass on the face of the earth without any modern technology. How in the devil can you accuse them of being less than because their skin things and ours, that's my skin, is a lighter brown because my ancestors moved farther and farther from the equator, and as they moved farther from the equator, they were exposed to less and less sunlight, so their bodies produced less and less melanin. It has nothing to do with being God's chosen children. And in this country, until you get to someplace like Egypt, in this country, God is an old white man with a long gray beard that looks like Charlton Heston playing Moses.
Yeah.
Because that's the way we want him to look.
Yeah.
And I got kicked out of the Methodist church here in Osage several years ago because I talked about God the Mother in the service. And the minister came out and asked me to find another place to worship on Sunday morning. People,
yeah.
God is a spirit and has neither gender nor color. But because men were allowed to learn, allowed to read,
yes.
And most of the verses in the Bible were written by males, they made God and Jesus into what they would feel comfortable praying to. I am, you know, I'm a Christian, a practicing Christian. I'm going to keep on practicing. Yep, I'm working on it. But when you go to Egypt and see all those marvelous pictures of Jesus, and he is as dark skinned as you could imagine, because that's what he was.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible, it says he had kinky, woolly hair and feet of bronze. And then you go to church on Sunday morning, which is the most segregated hour in the week, and you sit there and look at the minister, and behind him, the picture of a Jesus that we white people, so-called white people, have adapted to fit our needs. One of the main differences between colorless people and people of color is when we white people come into a new environment, we immediately adjust the environment to fit our needs. We even do it with our religion.
Mm.
When people of color come into a new environment, they immediately adjust their needs to fit the environment.
Yes, and that's a difference.
You think of it, yeah, well, a huge difference.
Mm.
You think about the Hawaiian Islands before the missionaries got there. They were running around in grass skirts and no shirts, and they were comfortable, and they were living according, their bodies were responding to the natural environment.
Hmm.
They didn't have to worry about getting overheated until the missionaries got there and insisted that they put on more clothes, which was totally ridiculous. We changed the environment to fit our needs.
Yes.
People of color change their needs to fit the environment.
Hmm. It sounds as though we have not necessarily been taught the real history.
No, the people who win the war write the history. History is written by the winners.
Yes.
History is written by those who are the conquerors, and they will decide what is real history. And that's exactly what we've done. You know, and I know, that Africans, the history of the people in Africa would be very different.
Mm. Do you think we need to speak more about differences, whether relating to skin color, abilities, or culture?
No, I think we need to talk more about similarities.
All right.
I think we need to talk about the fact that we are all members of the same race.
Yep.
We all have pretty much the same needs. We all need to be loved. We all need to have food. We all need to have shelter. We all need to have a place where we feel comfortable and where we are accepted. The fact that we are different shouldn't matter that much.
Right.
I did a program for a university in Texas several years ago. And in the middle of my remarks, this woman stood up. She's probably 45 years old. She's obviously an instructor. And she said, "Mrs. Elliott, I just look for the person's heart."
Okay.
I said, "Madam, if you can see my heart from where you're standing, you should go down to the local hospital and volunteer to be their x-ray machine. You can save them a bunch of money." She said, "You don't understand what I mean." I said, "I know exactly what you're saying. You're saying that you can't relate to somebody unless they have a skin color that you don't have to object to."
Hmm.
Now, have you ever dressed a chicken? And I think she thought I meant put clothes on a chicken. Well, no, I said, if you ever dress a chicken, if you ever cut up a chicken to serve it for dinner, you'll find out that we are very, very colorful on the inside. What are you going to do when you see the color of my heart? She said, I don't have to put up with this. I said, that's right, you don't. And she tore out of there just furious. And all those students looked up at me as if, you are a real bitch. And I knew what they were thinking. I said, you folks are thinking I'm a bitch right now, don't you? And they all, yeah. I said, well, that's okay. I am, because for me, bitch is an acronym for being in total control, honey. And I am in control of the situation, and she isn't. And you need to know that when she says she's looking for the person heart, what she is saying is, I don't want to see your skin color. Mm. People, okay. Your skin is the largest organ inch by inch on your body. And to have somebody say to you that they don't see that largest organ on your body is extremely offensive to me, and it should be to you. Mm. I have had people in my presence walk up to the person who hired me for U.S. West and say to her, Linda, when I see you, I don't see you black.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I back up. I take two steps backward because I think this woman is going to wish she had never made that statement. And Linda Guillory very nicely settles it. And I think, oh, my God, how often has she heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Every day in the corporation she was working for. When I see you, I don't see you black. That's supposed to be a compliment. That's not a compliment. That's an admission that the person who's saying it is a blatant racist and an ignorant racist and has the right to say to that other person, I have to ignore the largest part of you in order for me to relate to you. Who has the problem?
Mm-hmm.
They both have the problem, because now the person who is black has to figure out a way to avoid slitting that woman's throat.
Can you talk about a fear of retribution by the black people, if you like, or the colored people towards the whites? What do you say about that?
How about melanation? How about melanaceous and melanotic for those who have darker skin color and melanemic for those who are white? That makes it ever so much simpler. The first time I did the exercise, the kids were on the bottom the first day.
Yep.
I heard them in the boys' room talking about what they were going to do when they got on the top. The following day, when those boys got on the top, they were much less vicious to the ones who had been on the top the previous day. And on the third day, we got in the magic circle, and I said, now, after they had written their essays, we got in the magic circle, and I said, now, I've got to know. You boys said that you were going to get even with those others when you got on top. You didn't treat them badly. You didn't get even. Why didn't you get even? And that year and every year after that, those kids said, because we found out how it feels to be on the bottom. Mm. Think about that.
Yes.
If, in fact, people with melanaceous and melanotic people have been on the bottom, they know the chaos that that creates, not only in individuals, but in the society, and they know they do not want to cause that kind of chaos because of their having power.
Mm-hmm.
When people who are melanemic get it into their heads that people who have been through that agony do not want to cause it to others, we're going to see the end of racism and sexism and homophobia and ageism and anti-Semitism. Because once you, the kid, the reason I did that exercise the first day was we're studying the Indian unit, and our lesson plan for the next day was to learn the Sioux Indian prayer, which was taught to them by Christian missionaries. Oh, Great Spirit, keep me from ever judging a man until I've walked a mile in his moccasins. If melanemic people had to walk a mile in the moccasins of a melanaceous or melanotic person in this country, they would change their behaviors. Then they would appreciate the fact that we are not being abused by those who are of different colors. We are abusing them on a daily basis and keeping them in their place. Their place is not where we have told them it is. Their place is where they began, which is the leaders of civilization.
Mm. Now, you have mentioned, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have actually mentioned that a lot of the inmates or in prisons in America are full of men who cannot read.
I didn't say they're full of men who cannot read, but many, many people who end up in trouble with the law in this country are people who are males who are dyslexic. Dyslexia is a male problem for the most part. It is passed down through the male line. My father was slightly dyslexic. My brother was slightly dyslexic. My husband was a dyslexic, and so is my son. It is passed down through the male line, and you do not have to fail in school because you are dyslexic if you have a teacher who knows how to teach the dyslexic person. The kids in the film, I hope you've seen the film The Eye of the Storm, in which I put those little third graders through that blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise. The film that you saw in that classroom that year, the principal handed me my class roll, seven names on it, and he said, these kids aren't ever going to learn to read. Pass them on and get them out of here. No other teachers may be able to teach them to read, and you won't be able to either. And I thought, well, you fool. And I went to the office, and I looked through the cumulative files, and every one of those kids had high math scores, low reading and spelling scores, and I knew what I was dealing with. I had taken a course in Orton Swigerland phonics the previous summer for 2 weeks, and I knew how to teach the dyslexic child. And those kids came into my room reading at the low first grade level. They left 9 months later reading at the fourth grade level, and some of their independent reading levels were sixth grade, because I know how to teach the dyslexic child. And every teacher should know how to teach the dyslexic child. You don't just label them and then set them over there in the corner, send them special ed. You get that label, and then you find out how to teach people who have that specific learning difference. It's not a learning disability. It's a learning difference. Mm. And I explained to my kids that on the first day of school, they were so scared when they came into my classroom that year. I'll never forget the way they looked. And they were just, because they'd heard about what a tough teacher I was, and they were just terrified. And I said, here's the way it is, kids. You are in here because you all have problems learning to read, don't you? And they all looked at each other like, oh. I said, I know how to teach you to read. And when you leave here, if you do what I tell you to, when it comes to reading training, you're going to be reading at or above the fourth grade level. And they looked at one another like, she really is crazy, isn't she? I said, I know what you're thinking. I know how to teach children who have the problem that you have, the difference, the learning difference. Mm. And I'm going to teach you to read, and you're going to learn. And I taught them to read.
Yeah.
It is so simple, and it is so real, and it is so effective. And if we could we could see to it that we don't have to build more prisons and empty many of those that we already have, if we had teachers, educators, who knew how to educate children who are dyslexic. About 20% of the children that come to schools in this country are dyslexic, and most of them are not identified.
Wow. You also have a problem with the three R's.
Really? Reading is the only word that begins with R. Writing begins with W, and arithmetic begins with A. I teach the three R's. I teach the three R's of rights, respect, and responsibility. Every person in my classroom has a right to be respected. And if you don't show respect for the rights of every one of those students, you will be held responsible. And that's what we have to do in this country, particularly in schools. Mm. If you disrespect the rights of another person, you'll be held responsible for it. And if we start doing that at the kindergarten level, we wouldn't have to worry about people going into prison when they're 16, because the teachers don't know how to teach them.
Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for parents today, or a young child, teenager who is being bullied?
Well, when it comes to bullying, usually this is a person who didn't succeed in school because he can't read and he can't function well in an educational situation. So first he goes into athletics and he does that well. But then he learns that might makes right. And if you're white, you got a lot more right. So bullying is a result of somebody who has a really low opinion of himself, not of other people, but of opinion of himself. If children were taught three R's of rights, respect, and responsibility, we could do away with bullying. Mm. Because everybody would be respected for in some way. Every day, kids would realize that they are respectable human beings, and people will be held responsible for respecting their rights. Mm. But if you disrespect the rights of kids in first grade, and then eighth grade, and then high school, you can expect them to be people who do not recognize the rights of others and who do not respect them.
You are just phenomenal.
No, no, now listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not phenomenal, and I'm not brilliant. Someone has said common sense in uncommon amounts is what the world calls wisdom. If we would just, if we would just start to think before we run our mouths, if we would just read more and turn off the television and insist that every child in every home will spend a half hour a day in sustained silent reading and watch their father and their mother or whoever is taking care of them spend half an hour in sustained silent reading and not watching television, we could change this society. We could change this society all over the world. Because what people are learning on television today is how to be entertained colorfully. It is not education.
So where do you think the U.S. is heading for?
I think if we can reelect Joe Biden or somebody like him, we might be able to get back to somewhere near what we were when Barack Obama was elected. When Barack Obama was elected, I thought, there, now I don't have to do this exercise anymore. People are beginning to realize that we're all members of the same race and we're going to start treating one another fairly. But I didn't realize that those people who hated on the basis of their ignorance about skin color would go underground and elect somebody 8 years later who would support their ignorance. I didn't realize that. If I had realized, I would have worked a whole lot harder to see to it that Donald Trump didn't get elected. And now I'm working a whole lot harder to see to it that he doesn't get reelected, because the kind of leadership you have will dictate the kind of society you have. And we have proof of that in the last 6 years. We have to have somebody who sees people as people and not as color groups.
Wow. Yeah, lots to think about. And you certainly... So what's next for you? I mean, you call yourself it, you know. I mean, Jane, I tried to figure out, how do you say that word?
What word?
You know, you wrote to me and you said, Lisa, I am... I can't,
I'm old. I'm an octogenarian.
That's it. That's it. That's the word. What is it?
I'm an octogenarian. That means I'm at least 80 years old. I'm 89 years old. I'm an octogenarian. I'm old for me is an acronym for octogenarian living dangerously. I get death threats on a weekly basis now. It isn't as bad as it used to be. It used to be on a daily basis. Now it's just on a weekly basis. And now I say to them, go ahead. My husband's there. My son is there. My father's there. I need to see them again. Go ahead and kill me. But look, boys, and it's always those three little boys in the first or second row at the auditorium where I'm speaking with those red caps on in white. Make America great again. It means make America hate again. And they're sitting there pointing their little first finger at me as if they were a gun. And I say, look, I know what you guys want to do. You want to see me dead. Go ahead and kill me. I won't care. I'm going to go on to something better, and you're going to have to deal with it. However, if you kill me because of my absolute determination to end racism in this country, you might make a martyr out of me, and you might have to spend the rest of your life celebrating Jane Elliott Day once a year. Now, do you want to do that? And then all three of them make a cross with their first two fingers and say, no, no, no. I said, then shut up and listen while I'm talking. It's just the little fools don't seem to realize it. When you are an octogenarian, you have no fear of death. Because, you see, I don't believe in death. I believe that we go from this dimension to another dimension. And I know that's true because I have a picture. Long story. I don't believe in death. People need to stop believing in death. The idea of one race is never going to die. Somebody has said no power on earth can stop a man with a dream or an idea whose time has come. The idea of one race is an idea whose time has come, and nobody is going to be able to stop it, because that one idea could prevent all the wars that we might have in the future if we didn't believe that. If we believe that we're all one race, we will see people in a different way. We will not see them as less than or more than. We will see them as one of us.
Wow.
And that's another thing we have to do in this country. We have to stop calling this country America. America is everything from the northernmost point of Canada to the southernmost point of South America. And all the people who are citizens of all those countries are Americans. But we, in these 48 contiguous states, Alaska, Hawaii, and the islands off the southeastern coast of the United States, are the United States of America. And the most important word in that title is United. We have a so-called president for 4 years who is determined to divide us, and he's still looking at it. We have to accent the word United in the statement, in the title, United States of America, because that's what we are. And if you don't want to say United States of America because there's too many syllables, then say United States. And if that's too much for you, then say U.S. And that'll work because those two letters spell us. And that's what we are. We are members of us. Mm. We are all members of the same family and the same race, which is the human race.
Thank you so much, Jane, for your time and for speaking your truth and your incredible, inspirational. You're so inspirational. You're very courageous. And
they're marvelous questions. I'm glad to get them.
And you have been listening to the podcast Sånt är livet i Sverige, or in English, That's Life, here in Sweden, with me, Lisa Orsimäki. Till next time, take care of yourself and each other. Bye for now.